Welcome back to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly recap of the precious metals markets. This is Tori alongside Miles and Rob, and each week we give you a recap of the markets as well as the markets closely associated with the precious metals. With over 75 years of combined experience, hopefully we're giving you some wise insight. We will go into some details this week, actually, on some of that insight as to whether to buy, hold, or sell. And you can also follow along each week with charts and visual assistance at our website, which is McIlvaney.com, McIlvaney.com. And here we are recording again on Wednesday afternoon, as is typical for release on Thursday. And we're all smiling ear to ear because gold again is at an all-time high, and per Miles charts, sitting right at the target of 4,050 that you drew up. And silver flirting with a $50 mark as we record, $49.58.
Yeah, I don't think I have anything to complain about this week.
No, so far so good. Now it's a matter of where do we go from here?
Yeah, and that's where it's going to start to get tricky, because we talked about this here, I think about 2 weeks ago, when we were looking at just how extended some of these gold pricing, silver pricing has gotten. And, you know, especially gold moving well above its longer term 200-day moving averages, moving up to some levels that I'd speculated on the charts, which give us some really nice stair steps below us if we, say, were to see a pullback from here. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to have one. All markets go from that build-up phase to a manic phase, and I still don't feel like we're there yet.
No, if, not here in America anyway.
Yeah, but if we're moving that way, it really becomes an issue of like trying to rope the bull while it's running.
It's hard. The perception in the markets when gold crossed over 3,000, markets get fixated on zeros like you talk about. Most people are like, well, I'm just going to wait for a pullback. I mean, it's a little high right now. Sure. There was, you know, kind of a laissez-faire attitude, come see, come saw. Now with gold breaking through 4,000 like it wasn't even there, people are basically, what I'm being told from my clients is, I'd better get on board.
Right.
What can I get for this amount of money? And it just doesn't matter at this point. They just want in. So the psychology is definitely shifted.
You know, that's just a good point, because that herd mentality tends to represent the last phase sometimes of a bull market, or at least a cycle.
Well, at
right?
least I mean, on this cycle, I don't think we're near the end of the bull market.
No, good point. Yeah, I don't mean to misstate that. But
I think this cycle for real, I think we're going to push close to 5,000 before we start seeing some pullbacks. If we do see a pullback here this fall, which is doubtful, I think it's going to be more like we saw this summer, just a sideways move.
Yeah.
Just a plateau.
Yeah, we never did get the correction we were all hoping for, and we may not. I mean, the number really doesn't matter. The dollar figure doesn't matter. What matters is the underlying fundamentals. And, you know, Miles would argue that what matters is what the charts predict.
Right.
But the,
you're
in the news
finally
only.
Learning.
That's right.
I've never
learning.
Been more proud of you, Tori.
Listen,
we can news. Stop the show right there. Yeah. End of show.
But the news moves us more quickly or more slowly to those ultimate prices. But now you're in uncharted waters. The all-time highs create a problem, because it's far harder to predict future highs than it is possible retracement levels, like pullback from where.
All right, well, Tori, tell me where we're not in uncharted waters. We're in uncharted waters as far as government debt. We're in uncharted waters as far as equities. You know, look
money
at the
supply.
S&P, money supply, the Dow, cryptocurrencies, real estate. We're in uncharted water in price action pretty much all across the board.
Yeah. I'll tell you where we're not in uncharted waters right now.
Silver?
No, gold now being the number one held asset by sovereign banks again internationally.
Yeah. I thought it was the dollar.
Oh, it's not the dollar.
Not anymore.
Yeah, not
anymore.
Really?
And it wasn't for decades, so that's true. That's not uncharted waters.
So that's something that for, I believe, all of recorded human history, except for like a 20-year span in there where we tried this failed experiment, gold is right back to being the number one hedge of assets internationally again. And with gold pushing up to 4,000 an ounce now, breaking it a couple days ago in the futures market, now pushing above it today on Wednesday, it feels to me like the American public might have woken up to it, at least from a starting point. We may not be able to. We may be seeing that change again.
I am seeing it with my clients.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that because I've talked to a number of clients here this past week about that. And I think the question I'm getting the most right now is starting to turn into, do you guys still have stuff available? And that's a question I haven't gotten in a long time. So, yes.
That's a good question.
Yeah,
but
the short answer
is
yes.
We're laughing because it's different this time.
Right.
Well, I mean, just a few months ago, we were 37% behind demand from the year before.
Right.
Now, that is definitely changing.
Physical coins and bars.
Right. Yep. Physical. Yeah, exactly. Well, in Asia and Europe, it's well over 100% year on year. But I think that is changing. I really do. But because of that lack of demand and because we were at record highs, a lot of Americans began selling their coins, and we've talked about this, and their bars, and premiums have collapsed. I mean, you can buy pre-1933 gold coins, whether they're the $5 quarter ounce, the $10 half ounce, or the $20 one ounce coins, for less per coin than modern day bullion coins. And when you do the math, compared the gold content versus full ounce or quarter ounce coins, they're cheaper per ounce by a significant margin.
Right.
So you can buy old pre-1933 coins cheaper than modern day bullion coins per ounce and per coin. Never seen that before. Talk about uncharted waters. That's uncharted waters.
And that's telling you that demand actually is not high and supply is.
Right.
When that flips, that happens when there's fear in the market more than anything. That's when you see the physical demand ramp up. And all of this is kind of begging the question for the listener, I know, because we're all being asked dozens of times a day, should I sell? Yeah. Where do I sell? Do I profit take? What is it? And so we can't answer that question yes or no, because everybody has a unique situation.
No, but we can put it in a framework to help give people some context as to how they can best answer that question for themselves.
Yeah. And not just that question, but I mean, we have to turn it around and ask questions of them. We have to decide what type of investor are you and what were your motivations? What I have to ask my clients are, first of all, what other purpose do you have for the money? Like, where are you going to go with it if you sell here? Because you don't want to be sitting in dollars. That's why this is happening, is because the whole world is getting out of dollars.
Correct.
How high does gold go? It doesn't matter.
It's how low
does the dollar go?
Yeah.
And today it's flirting on the dollar index with 99. So we're hitting all-time highs in a higher lows and higher highs environment with the U.S. dollar index.
I got to look at the dollar index. You got to be kidding me.
Well, it's just under 99, and it's been steadily climbing here over the last week.
And yet gold just broke through 4,000 like it wasn't even there. And the dollar
Everything's up week. I love those weeks. Just somehow money comes out of nowhere. There's this magical nowhere that money seems to just appear from. You know, I wonder if that's leftover funding that's not going to the departments that are shut down within the federal government right now. Oh. Maybe that's where the imaginary money is coming from that's causing everything to go up at once.
It could be.
Yeah, I'm clearly being...
Well, and I don't, you know, when people call me and they have to sell, I mean, I don't want to stand in their way. Last time I checked, it's their money. I just say, well, you know, do you need the money? I mean, I feel like Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. Well, how much do you need, Joe?
Yeah.
You know?
But that's a key question because people have short-term liquidity needs.
They do.
Some even liquidity crunches because of other investments that have not gone
right.
So
and
well.
I tell them, please don't hurt yourself by waiting for gold to move higher. If you need the money, we would love to buy your product. But if you're just looking to trade in a profit like you would a stock, that's not a sound strategy at this point.
Well, and what you have to ask yourself as an investor too is, why did you do this originally?
Yeah,
what was your original motivation? Because if it was a buy and hold, asset preservation over time, making yourself immune to the increased cost of living, well, gold has done that. So what's changed? Don't get pulled into the speculator mindset or the performance asset mindset. Maybe that was you. That's another question, is were you seeking performance? And if you were, then how do you argue here, Miles? I mean, if you're talking about topping essentially in a cycle, could it be time to take some profit off the table?
Well, I think that gets back to my framework comment a minute ago. I've got a couple clients that did sell from a profit-taking standpoint recently that I wholeheartedly agreed with. Now, here's the underlying caveat of that. 5 years ago, gold made up 30% of their portfolio. Today it's 60.
Great point. So their portfolios become unbalanced.
Yeah.
Yes.
So their stock portfolio is up. Their gold portfolio has dwarfed it. And they're looking at kind of rebalancing. We talked about the real estate thing a couple weeks ago as well. I think despite the fact that it feels like real estate is moving pretty aggressively upwards over the last 5-10 years, you look at real estate, square foot to gold ratio is looking pretty favorable, or at least we're getting there.
Yeah.
So I think, sure, there can be some reasons to quote unquote profit take out of your precious metals position, but you got to remember you got two boxes sitting in front of you. One of those boxes is the gold you never touch for any reason whatsoever until the U.S. government decides to add a little bit of austerity back into the mix. And then the other box may be that gold that because gold's been so strong or because you've been consistent with your buying over the course of a number of years, all of a sudden your portfolio isn't 30% gold, that's 40, 50, 60. And that happens sometimes. So I think there can be some reasons, but I can tell you, I don't care what price gold goes to, I'm never going below 25 or 30% gold in my overall holdings, ever. I don't care if it goes higher. I don't care if it goes lower because I don't trust the government and I certainly don't trust the Federal Reserve Bank.
Good answer. So another question to ask is, are you looking to sell here only to rebuy physical metals at a later date? And in that instance, I would say don't do that.
Yeah.
You need at least a 15% move to justify that, no, right? In the physical market.
You can do it in our vaulted accounts where yes. You're looking at spreads of less than 4% or at 6%. So you can do it that way. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no.
Otherwise, I would not flirt with that. Keep that to your paper investments,
yeah. You
know, your ETFs or your...
Yeah. Yeah, but based off what criteria? Because it feels like the price is high in terms of U.S. dollars. That, to me, isn't a good enough reason. I feel like the number's big. Because the numbers big has always been the case. I'm not Rob, but I'm not a spring chicken in the industry either. I've been doing this for 20 years now, and guess what? The number's always bigger than it used to be.
That's right.
So the number's going to keep getting bigger than it used to be.
And yeah. I have seen people do that, especially in their IRA accounts. Okay, I'm selling now, and I'm going to buy back in later. I've got one client that sold 3 years ago, and they're still sitting in cash waiting for the pullback.
Yeah.
And I would call them. I'm like, hey, you know, it ain't going down.
Well, do they still have their third in gold? Was that an excess above their insurance position? Like, did they own it for the sake of investment?
Yes.
Well, then that's a different conversation. This is the big thing for me. Not all money is created equal. Not all wealth is the same thing. And I think one of my biggest things that I'm always trying to impart on my clients is your checking account isn't your savings account. It isn't your gold position. It isn't your vaulted position. It's not your stock portfolio. Like, I know we denominate all those things in U.S. dollars, but those are different animals and they need to be thought of and treated very differently. So you approach them different. I approach my vaulted gold very differently than my physical gold.
Yeah. I do too.
Very differently than my ETFs and my stock portfolio.
That's right.
Those are not the same thing to me.
Yeah. And some clients just have fatigue. We've all got those clients that have white metal fatigue. This is the first time that we've seen this price since 2011 in
that's
silver.
I'm getting that tattooed. White metal fatigue. I love that
WMF,
so much.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, you got platinum and silver fatigue for some people where it's been 2013.
It's
since
the
we
world's
saw platinum this high. Yeah.
White metal fatigue. It is the world's longest standing song and dance. It makes Bohemian Rhapsody look like a children's ditty. Like, it is the
WMF.
It is the longest song and dance I've had to listen to for 20 years.
But it's a real thing where they just look, they bought
Done.
In 2013, they bought platinum.
Done.
In 2011, they bought silver. They have not seen these prices since. They don't care. They're out.
I know. I had one like that 2 months ago. Just get me out. My platinum is back up to where I've got a modest profit. Just
exactly.
get me out. I'm like, can That's we right. just give it a minute?
Yeah.
Give me a couple of weeks. Give me a couple of months. No, I want out. I'm done. Do
you
were
right
done?
To instill some patience. Because here we are.
But, classic example of WMF, white metal fatigue.
Yeah.
He was just tired of waiting.
That's my new favorite thing.
Ultimately, too, the most important reason that we would suggest making a move here is if you're looking to compound ounces. Like, is there a swap indicated?
Yes.
And the answer to that right now is no, because despite all the price volatility and action, the swings in premiums have been non-existent, and the swings in ratios have not been enough to warrant a move. So you've got to hang in there and not make a move that way.
Yeah, we're still in the low 80s silver to gold right now.
Yeah, it's 82 still today. And so hold your horses on the gold-silver ratio. But I would challenge Robin Miles, if you guys can go into motivations right now for why somebody would hold,
yeah,
why somebody would sell, and why somebody would actually buy here. Because that's what we have to advise our clients on a daily basis. Everybody's unique. And you as a listener, you're going to fall into one of these categories, buy, hold, or sell. And I'm excited to hear the wisdom.
Well, if you're a typical precious metals investor, you accumulate ounces over time for the long term. Gold essentially climbs at the average annual rate of 9% per year over our lifetimes because of the devaluation of the dollar. Not because gold is going up, it's the loss in purchasing power of the dollar. That means you're happy to make yourself immune to the cost of living increases rather than sitting in dollars by sitting in gold.
Yes.
Compounding ounces, that adds a performance component. You know,
sure,
as we play the ratios. Sometimes a liquidation can create a taxable event if it occurs outside of an IRA. You want to make sure you don't cause additional headaches for an already burdensome tax year.
Yeah, and I think that's a good one to bring up too, especially regarding our conversation about the idea of sell high, buy low, which is everybody's dream goal.
Yeah.
Sounds really good.
Yeah.
But across the board in any investment, now physical precious metals, there's additional costs with manufacturing and shipping and all that other stuff. And you're looking at larger, what we call spread, between buy and sell price.
Yeah, you can anticipate on average about 15% in silver, maybe a little bit less in gold.
Yeah, I'd say like 10, 12 in gold, up to 15 in silver, as long as it's not 6 months after COVID, where the spread was like 30, 40% in silver. But spreads exist in mutual funds. Spreads exist,
sure,
in futures and options contracts. Spreads exist across the board. Plus, you've got to factor in the capital gains expense. And I think from that standpoint, you got to do the math. Hey, if you want to come out of silver at 50, you don't need it to go to 46 and be happy. You probably need it to go to like 40, mm-hmm, to where it was really worth your time doing it. And I think that's something worth factoring in as well, which gets back to your initial question at the beginning of the conversation. What are you going to do with the money?
Yeah.
Are we coming out and going back in? Or do you have some other opportunities? Well, if we're coming out and going back in, we got to be real careful about how we approach it.
You know, and then there are other opportunities. I just had a client today reach out and say, hey, I want to take some of my gold in my IRA and buy into Bitcoin. Can you guys do that for us? And of course, we can do that. That's what we do. And last time I checked, it's his money. I'm not recommending he do that, but that's what he wants to do. They see a better opportunity, and we are okay with that. We're not trying to browbeat people like a financial planner might in saying, oh, no, you don't want to buy gold. It's a pet rock. That's not our job. Our job is, like you brought up earlier, what percentage are you in gold? What's your purpose for being there? Is it a hedge? Is it a checking account for you? Why are you there?
Well, the major parent companies to most of those financial planners have really been stocking up on those pet rocks here over the last 12
isn't
months.
That
so
amazing.
Isn't that interesting? yeah, you know, we do practice what we preach here too. For instance, and this gets to my conversation a minute ago about keeping things in different boxes.
Yeah.
I sold gold last week. I also bought gold last week.
Those, but it was from a different box.
Those two transactions had nothing to do with each other. Those were from two separate boxes based on some rebalancing I wanted to do in my own personal portfolio. I bought gold last week because I buy gold every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I will never stop buying gold every 2 weeks.
Well, I tell you what I've been doing is I've been buying $5 and $10 gold pieces.
Yeah.
The premiums are so low compared to modern day bullion coins. They're cheaper than that, and I have a built-in hedge. So if gold does back up $50 or $200 or $500, I've got some downside protection because I'm buying 100-year-old gold pieces cheaper than I can modern-day bullion coins.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Crazy.
Okay, so one sentence or less, we can move on to the other two.
Right.
Why do you hold gold right now?
Well, that's where we've been talking about why hold, but really, why would you want to sell? Now, maybe you have fatigue. Maybe you think we're near technical resistance and we want to cash in our profits. We are so far above the 50-day moving average across the board as you track the
right
charts. But precious metals buying has suddenly ramped up. There does seem to be a consensus among people buying right now, hey, this is going further. And I believe that myself. I do not think we're at a manic stage. So I'm not recommending my clients sell unless they need the money.
Yeah.
I mean, there's absolutely no reason for our clients to be sitting on a pile of gold and yet feeling the financial stress when they don't have to.
I love that you bring that up, too. I've talked to a couple people this week, and I'll be perfectly honest. I'm a product of the lashes I've taken through the years, right? Like anybody else is in the financial world. And we are definitely getting into territory where, from a charting perspective, I'm looking at this and saying, hey, I'm not saying we might have a better opportunity, but the opportunity we have today could last for 6 months if we go into that stair step or the pause or whatever you want to call it. And we may not. You're right. It could blow right up to 5,000. There's no reason it doesn't. But let's say we do get a little bit of a break here. You could buy gold in April next year for the same price it is today. You haven't lost anything, so who cares?
That would be wonderful.
But the conversations I'm having with people, and I think this is that change in mindset you're talking about. I'm just asking. You've been Mr. Customer, Mr. Client. You've been consistent with your gold buying forever. You're looking at doing a little bit more now than you consistently do every couple of months. What's your reasoning behind it? With the rise in prices and the fact that you're already sitting on a healthy gold position, does maybe seeing where this plays out over the next few months make sense to you? And the answer has been, I don't care if silver goes down $5. I don't care if gold goes down 500.
They don't.
Yeah. I know where it's going to be 5 years from
now. That is exactly right. They don't care if it drops a little bit because they know where we're going.
And that's a change in mindset that we haven't seen in 10 or 12 years.
No. And I'll tell you something else. The reason for buying right now is exactly what you just said. Yeah, it could go down. We know that. We've seen that.
Sure.
But we know where it's going.
Yeah.
And it is going much, much higher.
Because it doesn't matter who you elect, they all use the same hammer out of the same box.
Well, and that's why, you know, you do want to talk, thinking of our listeners, really should talk to your advisors here at McIlvany Precious Metals. Because if you look at like the 10 Indians, if I go back 20 years ago, that quality of a $10 U.S. Indian was just over $2,000 a coin when a half-ounce gold eagle was $350 a coin.
Right.
Basically the same amount of gold. Now the half ounce gold American Eagle is over $2,100 a coin, and so is the 10 Indian. It's actually a little cheaper than that, and the 10 Liberty,
right,
for instance. Those prices haven't moved, and yet the underlying gold value has ramped up considerably. Those older coins, they don't make them anymore. And if you can buy your gold position in a collectible coin at these current price levels, you have a built-in hedge against a sudden drop in the price of gold. And I think you can expect an additional 25 or 30% premium over and above the gold move as we continue higher. I don't expect them to be worth 5 or 6 times their gold content in terms of their rarity like they used to
be.
But I don't expect them to be cheaper than bullion either.
No, 500%, who cares? You're right. Maybe that never happens again.
Won't.
But what about something reasonable like 50? You want to buy gold for $3,000 today? Buy a 10 Indian.
Literally, Miles, literally, like buying gold at $635 an ounce. At the current prices today.
Where compared to the high.
Compared to where they were 20 years ago, you're buying gold like it's $635. Now, that's a false argument because I don't believe it'll ever get back there again.
No, I mean, it could, but probably not. Again, like I said, it gets to something reasonable, 50% premium. 100% premium, something like that.
Yeah.
And last thing, because I do think that your point there about rare coin, anybody who understands the metals market knows that premiums kind of move more towards the end of the bull market when demand is really ramping up.
And we have no availability.
So with premiums at a low and still availability while price is rising, we've talked about why you hold your position. We've talked about why you buy. Why would you actually sell? And I'm not asking sarcastically because I think the argument
is
good.
Yeah, really. If you need the money, come on. I mean, people have been stacking ounces. I've been here for basically 40 years. And people have been stacking ounces and they want to pass on to grandkids. And I appreciate that. It's a legacy investment. You know, I'm like, hey, listen, go enjoy life, please. Take some of your hard-earned money that has done so well for you, do something nice for yourself. Don't sit there and eat beans and try to scrimp by, or you have medical bills you need to cover. Don't deny yourself medical treatment, please. Get health. Enjoy your retirement. You've waited a long time for this. Take advantage of it. And you could sell a little bit, and it goes a long way.
That's why they bought it in the first place,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly, yeah.
So there you go.
But this generation, my generation and the generation ahead, they've been saving and scrimping and denying themselves for so long, it's become a lifestyle. And I respect that. But at the same time, smell the roses a little bit.
Big sniff.
Yeah.
Or at least a little one. Well, I think that's going to do it this week, Rob. Tori, appreciate it, guys. And to all of you listening, thank you for joining us if you stuck around this long. So thank you kindly. Again, this has been Golden Rule Radio. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on our website. We are at mcalvany.com. That's mcalvany.com. We're also on Twitter at ICA Gold and Facebook at McIlvany Financial. If you'd like to speak with one of the advisors here at McIlvany Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.